Our gospel lesson for September 13th, 2020 comes from Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Let's read that right now. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe me.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to Christ. Last year, a 31-year-old female police officer in Dallas returned home after an exhausting day on duty. Entering her apartment, she was startled to see a young black man sitting in her living room, watching her TV. She pulled out her service revolver, shouting at him to raise his hands. When he didn't respond fast enough, she pulled the trigger, shooting and killing the young man. As she called 911, she realized something. She wasn't in her apartment at all. She was exactly one floor above her apartment. This wasn't her living room or her TV. On October 1st of 2019, Amber Geyer, the police officer, was convicted of murder in the death of Botham Jean, a 26-year-old accountant, and an immigrant from the Caribbean island of St. Lucia. It was a sad, ugly, avoidable tragedy smeared with racial overtones. But at the end of this sordid, sickening episode, something quietly redeeming took place. On the last day of the trial, Brant Jean, the younger brother of the murdered Gotham Jean, asked the judge permission to give Amber Geyer a hug. Permission was granted. They embraced one another, and Brant Jean publicly forgave Amber Geyer for killing his big brother. It was a stunning sight that captured the nation's attention. What leads someone to do that? Embracing and forgiving your own brother's murderer. I hate to be cynical, but honestly, it makes you wonder about the sincerity of it all. Is it possible to forgive like that? In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus was talking to his disciples about forgiveness. And in the course of the conversation, Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Peter was trying to impress Jesus. Jewish tradition and law dictated that a God-fearing religious Jew should forgive someone 3 times. But magnanimous Peter suggested 7 times. That would be far more than generous, far more than expected. If Peter anticipated a pat on the back from Jesus for his gracious suggestion, he didn't get one. Instead, what came out of Jesus' mouth shocked Peter. I don't say forgive 7 times, but 77 times, or in some versions, 7 times 70 times. Here's the backstory. If you turn to Genesis 4, verse 19, you'll be introduced to a guy named Lamech. Lamech was a great, great, great grandson of Cain, and he was a pretty unsavory guy. He was the first polygamist in the Bible. He declared his independence from God and bragged about being a murderer. And he warned that while his ancestor Cain had avenged himself 7 times for different slights or injuries, if anyone injured him, Lamech, he would avenge himself 77 times. So Jesus turned Lamech's self-centered braggadocio on its head. When Peter asked Jesus how many times he should forgive a man, Jesus referred back to Lamech and said, forgive 77 times. The point, of course, is that we're called not to avenge ourselves, but to forgive and forgive and keep on forgiving. But the reason Jesus' response to Peter was shocking to Peter and to us is that most of us have experienced firsthand the tremendous difficulty of truly forgiving those who've treated us poorly, let alone murdered our brother. Forgiveness is not easy at all. And sometimes the hardest to forgive are those closest to us, family members, or spouses, or former spouses. You know, at the very beginning of this parable that Jesus told, the parable of the unmerciful servant, he starts it out saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. In other words, Jesus is going to reveal something here about how God operates. And right off the bat in this parable, the king who represents God completely cancels the debt of a man who owes him a vast sum of money. The king doesn't just give the man more time to pay. He cancels the debt completely without any apparent cause or rationale other than mercy. Now, this is important. The man who owed the money, he represents you and me. You know, last week we talked about deeds versus creeds, and I took issue with the phrase you hear every now and then in Christian circles, deeds not creeds, as if creeds and deeds don't support one another, or that they're even at odds with one another. My contention last week is that deeds, good deeds, loving God and loving your neighbor by serving your neighbor, good deeds are impossible without creeds. There's inadequate, unsustainable motivation to do what God demands of you unless you understand why you understand creeds. Unless you understand through Scripture what God has done for you. And this parable is a perfect example of that. The servant in the parable is forgiven everything by the gracious king. And it's the king's intention, obviously, that this servant turns around and forgives his own debtors. That was the king's desire. And when his servant, who was shown so much mercy, refused to extend mercy to others, the king went ballistic. You and I need to recognize the magnitude of Christ's sacrifice for us and the depth of God's forgiveness and love for us in order to accept and love and forgive others. You know, I remember back in the 80s when the AIDS crisis hit America, And a very prominent Christian leader came out with a very public announcement that he believed that AIDS was God's condemnation of the gay community. Was it? I don't know. But I do know this. We as Christians are called to love our neighbors, all our neighbors. And I've often wondered what would have happened if this Christian leader, instead of condemning the gay community, would have announced a massive effort to help fight the battle against AIDS and then followed up on it. I bet the animosity that exists all these years later between the gay community and much of the church would have never developed. You know, us who have been forgiven so much, us who are accepted by God, us whose many, many transgressions are not counted against us, we've been instructed clearly to not judge our neighbor. Read the first few verses of Matthew 7. And us who are so deeply loved by God, despite our flaws and our selfishness and our continuing incorrigible sinfulness, we've been instructed not to hate, but to love our neighbors, and not in a lukewarm fashion, but to love them as ourselves. Read Mark 12, verse 31. How can we possibly accomplish so great a task? Our only hope, our only shot, is to grow deeper in faith, knowledge, and love of God. It's the creeds that inspire our deeds. Every Sunday we recite either the Apostles' or the Nicene Creed, and we repeat what we believe, that God created us and gave His only begotten Son to come and live as a human being among us, to suffer as we suffer, to laugh as we laugh, and to love us beyond our capacity to love. He died in the process of being tortured on a Roman cross to pay the penalty for our sin, and then rose again from the dead to demonstrate that we too will rise from the dead and enjoy everlasting life with Him. And now He reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, and someday will be our judge, a fact not to be feared, but to be rejoiced over, because Christ is merciful and forgiving, and His gift of the Holy Spirit imparts to us faith and assurance and peace. We're called to forgive others generously because we have so generously been forgiven. Your sin is as far from you as the east is from the west. You are accepted by God because you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So be at peace. You can rest. You belong to Jesus. Amen.